posted this beautiful photo of my nephew Beckett on Facebook last Friday with a quote, 3 years ago, this kid came into the world and our lives were changed forever. To say that they are smitten is quite an understatement. In fact, last Friday, as she was typing that status on Facebook, my sister Natalie and I were barreling down Highway 81 to get to Greenville, South Carolina, where they live, to surprise my nephew Beckett and shower him and his sister Lane with love, and to snuggle Lane a little bit more so because she's extra snuggly right now at 6 months. It was a big weekend for our family because Lane was baptized last Sunday at her home church. It was kind of weird for me because this was such a huge day for our family. My sister pressed the perfect dress that she spent hours picking out. She bought the cutest shoes and the bonnet. We took all kinds of photos, so much so that our cheeks were hurting. My sister even bought these little baby cakes called Petit Fours that have little crosses on them. They were very delicious, I had four. Or just the icing of them, not the blue. So it was this quintessential spring baptism weekend. And so while this was a huge deal for our family leading up to the worship service, I felt something completely different when the worship service began. Here we are, sitting on the front rows reserved, us and the pastor and the baptismal font. And what I realized was far beyond us, all the other pews were reserved for the rest of Lane's family too, the family of the household of God. These were people that had rocked Beckett to sleep at the nursery when he was a baby, his school teacher from pre-K that taught him Jesus loves me at a remarkably young age. They sent a card to Mallory and Stephen when Lane was born. They're the people that are there for my niece and nephew on a weekly basis, telling them the story of faith. And I'm kind of a micromanaging aunt when it comes to knowing Jesus, because I'm a pastor. So I'm always sending these subtle hints by giving Mallory special books on how to teach them how to pray and things like that. But in some sense, I have to give up some of that because I'm 12 hours away. And so that Sunday at the baptism, it was a moment for me to realize that there were many more people in her life than just me that were going to teach her the story of faith. These people were the people that would help Mallory and Stephen teach Lane and Beckett who they are and whose they are, far beyond a flash weekend. People have asked here at the church how it went, and I jokingly have said, great, the water made it on Lane's head. The water, as you know, symbolizes the invisible grace we know in Jesus Christ that is for Lane forever and always. But let's be honest, the big part of baptism is the water for us because it's what we see, but it's also the community, which is sometimes harder to see. For that reason, our church, the PCUSA, makes the claim that baptism happens within the midst of a church family because a baby or an adult or a child is baptized into a community. When Lane's baptism started, a ton of young kids came forward for the children's time, much like ours. And this little girl was super wiggly, and her big brother was trying to show her what to do and how to sit, and they were staring up as far as they could at Lane, so right underneath her. The pastor introduced Lane to the kids, and she peeked through her bonnet, and she shoved her chubby cheeks aside with a smile and waved her little fat arm at the crew below, her future friends. The pastor talked with the kids about their vow to help Lane know Jesus and show her how to love others with Jesus' love. They listened intently. This whole time, I'm standing up there, and it was like time stood still. I looked at those kids. I looked at that congregation, and I knew that Lane was in the midst of God Almighty. These were her people. They might change from chapter to chapter, but last Sunday began her journey as a child of God within the family of faith. The pastor looked Lane right in the face and said, Lane, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. And for you, he suffered and did vow. For you, he went through the agony of Gethsemane and the darkness of Calvary. For you, he cried, it is fulfilled. For you, he was triumphant over death. For you. And you, little child, you do not know anything of all of this, but thus it is confirmed the word of the apostle. We love because God first loved us. See what love God has for us, what love God has lavished us with, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Every time I see a baby, every time I pass a font, every time I hear an assurance of pardon, I think of this scripture reading today. How great is God? How great is God's love that it chose us? Us. We are children of God. It's not singular, it's plural. So often today we think that faith has to do with what we know in our minds and accept in our hearts and us and God. It's just me personally with God. But God has already decided. God has a claim on us that is far stronger than the claim we can place on God. And this claim that God has for us is not so we can fly through life solo in life's tumultuous waters knowing that God loves us. God loves us so much that he gave us each other. So Sophie, Matthew, Jarian, Abby, and Michael, when each of you were baptized, your family, they made a claim. They claimed for you that Jesus was their Savior, and they vowed to raise you, telling you the story of God and God's love. But it just doesn't end there, and you saw that this morning. In every baptism liturgy, we ask something of you all, the congregation. And often I feel like we all just say we will, because the pastor is asking, will we? I mean, how many people shout, I'm not doing it. This vow is a congregation that takes on behalf of the entire household of God. So you guys might not be a part of their lives for the entirety of their life. They've probably been in different churches. But you take that vow on behalf of all of the people that are going to come into these children's lives. We, the people of St. John's, make this vow, and we take it serious in baptism. That's why Patrick and I are here, not so that we can just love the children, but so that we can help you discover how you can use your gifts to love the children of this church, to grow and learn from the children of this church. I mean, let's be honest, all of us want to be just as excited as Tegan to go learn about the Bible. The vow we make is as follows. Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell this child the good news of the gospel, to help him or her know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship, to strengthen his or her family ties with the household of God? Now, the first part is pretty obvious. Sunday school, VBS, chair of choir, all the overt learning opportunities for the kids at church. And all of you get to help. But what does it look like to strengthen someone's ties with the household of God with your fellowship? See, I actually think this last part is the richest part of the vow. Our life together as a church must be intergenerational, in worship and play and even in learning. If we are living out this vow as a congregation, then our children and youth truly know of God's lavish love, as it's evident in the way we live our lives together, as it's evident in how we love together. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Epistle of 1 John. Biblical scholars attribute these writings to the community of a Joannine church associated with the Gospel of John. These are a community of people who gathered after the resurrection of Christ, trying to figure out what their daily life looks like. We'll call them the very first St. John's. Listen to the words of the first chapter. I want you to imagine as if these were words to our confirmants. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life is revealed, and we've seen it, and we testify to it. And we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father, and it was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So the writer reminds this community in the letter that God loves them, yes. but also that God claims them, so much so that he sent Jesus. And they see Jesus as a role model, as true community. Jesus wasn't flying solo. He had friends and people around him. We do a lot here in church that talks about how we're children of God. We see pictures of Jesus with children. We baptize kids and look at how cute they are. We read scriptures to remind us that God claims us no matter how messy life gets. But it's more than just you and God. To be a child of God means that you are a part of a family. To be a child of God means that you're responsible to someone else who is also a child of God, no matter how old they are. We may know that we are children of God in mind, but what does it look like to truly embody it as a community, to truly feel it in our hearts? Being a child of God means that no matter what you are, you're never out of the purview of God's love. There's an element of inclusion here, that as a child of God, you are part of a whole. You are part of the body of Christ. You are not alone. That's what it means to be a child of God. It means we treat others with this radical, inclusive love of God, even if we're wiggly or senile, or convinced in a way that's different than another person's interpretation. Even if the other person's hard to love, the good news is that we are not all the same and like each other. The good news is that somehow God loves all of us, and we all get to be a part of this body of Christ and be called children of God. And that, my friends, is something no amount of knowledge or reason can ever take away from us. Our Old Testament reading is beautiful because it shows us that as children of God, we are not kept in a bubble, that just because God loves us, we're not without trial or tribulation. And this psalmist's prayer is a prayer that reaches out to God in the midst of turmoil. Patrick's favorite verse is the last. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The safety that our God grants us is the safety of the other, the people that surround you at points in your life that are God incarnate, through experiences that truly synthesize what it means to be a child of God. Now, confirmation this year was a learning experience. To be honest with you, I had a very different confirmation experience when I was in high school. I started Lutheran and ended Presbyterian, so it was kind of jumbled. So it was really neat for me to see the St. John's confirmation. So now as church folk, we have a bad habit of making church stuff like class. We make syllabi, and we have what we're going to do each day, and there's sort of this idea that we get information from someone who's deemed as an expert on the matter for us to learn from. So some people can criticize confirmation as a time when the church tells you what to believe. But Patrick and I tried to keep it open to the ability of having it all as a conversation, what the church used to believe, how it changed his mind, what we believe today, how you can figure out what you believe, or what we read in scripture that is why we believe what we believe. But really, you can't figure out everything you believe in 1 year. And if you do, it's going to change the next year. In the next 20 years, your idea of how you understand God will change. So there we were, a group of people put together, some not always wanting to be there, or tired or exhausted, zoned out. Some with far too many questions that a conversation would last way more than an hour. Some on the edge of our seats fascinated by this whole idea of the Presbyterian government. They were so fascinated by the Presbyterian government. So once a week we came and we talked. We heard things maybe we already knew, and then we left. And then January happened. It was pouring cold on that Friday night. And let me tell you, these confirmants drug their feet toward the parking lot. And we got to the Subaru and they looked at me and said, "Are we going to be sleeping in bunks with other people that might be snoring? Is there going to be another church there? What is this? Are we going on a retreat with other people?" So you can tell they were really nervous. So we made our way to Honeybrook, and I made them stop for ice cream, one, because I just absolutely love dairy-free ice cream, but two, I figured that would lighten the load if I gave them some ice cream. So we had a lot of ice cream that weekend. So when we arrived and the car rolled up to a wooden cabin, deep breaths were let out. The dreaded fears subsided and they realized that they had a whole cabin to themselves with as many Rice Krispie treats as they could eat, as many fires as they could make, as many games as they wanted to play. This was a weekend of little requirements, a weekend of learning and discovery, meaningful conversation, and much freedom for rest, for Sabbath, for space to be you, the child of God that you are. We ate, we worshiped, we gathered, we made our own communion bread, and we broke bread together. Oh my gosh, we froze our butts off. We watched the Eagles head to the Super Bowl. We made Dave stand out with the antenna so that we could watch it happen. That weekend, everything changed for us. Because we can only teach confirmands so much. The confirmation that weekend wasn't exactly about what we taught them. It was what they experienced. It was about what they became and how they became a family, part of a whole. Part of a God whose lavish love won't let them go. I think our scripture this morning, 1 John, is purposefully plural because the church is not I or me. The church is us. Even God is us, three in one. So today, Confirmation Sunday is just a Sunday amidst all of them. But the vows those people took on your baptism day on behalf of all the church, they're not so you can just come week after week, have donut holes, and learn about scripture. It's so you can be a part of a family, laugh together, and cry together, and play together. These vows are so that you can cry with someone you knew 24 hours prior, so that you might find comfort in the arms of someone when tears fill your eyes as you grieve the loss of a friend, that you might truly learn what it means to have a relationship by God, by watching a grown man share his experience of faith. And even people to sit beside you when you just don't quite know yet. These people, God is using the Holy Spirit to connect them and to connect you to God. God uses these memories and these pictures and these moments so that you might know that you are embraced by God. So today, confirmands, you affirm who you are and whose you are. And we affirm this for ourselves, too. So for some of us, it might be a reminder. For some of us, it might be the first time we've said it out loud. For others, it might not really feel different other than a typical Sunday for you. But one day, God is going to surround you with people. People that you dine with, people you trust, people that challenge you, people that walk a path with you that you could not walk alone on. The ones that vowed to you when your arms had five fat rolls, and those that vowed to be by your side and do life with you. So Michael, Matthew, Avi, Darian, Sophie, go from this place knowing that you can never go where God is not long ahead of you, preparing the way. Go from this place knowing that you can never go where God's Spirit is not. Go from this place knowing who and whose you are and the people that taught it and will continue to teach you what it means. Because these people, we are your people. And we're here now on this journey with you, and we get to ask the questions with you. We're not here to tell you how to do life. We get to do life with you, ask questions with you. We are all children of God. That is what we are, and thanks be to God for the gift that it is.